For our scripture reading this evening, we will once again read the same psalm as this morning, Psalm 23. And maybe as we read it, the children can follow along, having memorized it. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our text is in the last verse of this psalm. And in connection with that verse, let us also turn to John chapter 14. John 14. And there we will read the first seven verses. Let us once again hear the word of God as it is in John 14. And here the Lord Jesus is speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Thus far. Dear congregation, if there is a difficult and dangerous journey to be made, the last thing you want to do is to go alone. If it's through some great desert, or if it's through some dangerous enemy territory, you want others to be there to help you. And if you're a very important person, there will be others who are there to help you. Kings and presidents and other important people don't just go on journeys alone. They have attendants to go with them. But if you're just a poor person, well then, who is going to go with you? You just have to manage alone. The most special people have the most special attendants to go with them. And the most special people, maybe rich or poor, they may be young or old, they may have many friends or no friends. The most special people are the sheep of the Lord Jesus. If you're a sheep, he sends you the most special attendants to go with you through life, his goodness and his mercy. All the days of your life, until you come home. That's how this psalm ends. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us listen to that, this text, prayerfully under the theme, My Shepherd Will Bring Me Home. First, with his goodness and mercy, and second, to enjoy his goodness and mercy. My shepherd will bring me home with his goodness and mercy, and second, to enjoy his goodness and mercy. How fitting it is that this psalm, which begins with the Lord is my shepherd, ends with the goodness and mercy of that shepherd. How else can you explain why the Lord is a shepherd, and why else he seeks out lost sheep, and why else he guides them and does all the things that we read of in this psalm? It is this goodness and mercy of the Lord. What is that goodness and mercy? Goodness. We all have a sense of what goodness is, right? Goodness is the opposite of badness. A bad boy is disobedient, is unkind, not someone you want to be around. A good boy is kind, is helpful, is nice, is pleasant. A bad apple is rotten. You don't want to eat it. And a good apple is crispy, is juicy, seems to burst when you eat it. It's a good apple. What's good is lovely, is beneficial. And what's bad is harmful and defective. But here it's speaking of pure goodness, a goodness that is found purely in God. Of him we read in Psalm 119, Thou art good and doest good. He is goodness itself, and therefore all that he does and all that he speaks and wherever he leads, everything about him is good because he is goodness itself. That means he's perfect. There's nothing defective. There's nothing deficient. He's perfectly good. He can't be improved. He is goodness. And he shows it in his kindness, in his benevolence, in his mercy. He's pure goodness. The second word we have here is mercy. In the Hebrew, chesed, a word that you find almost 250 times in the Old Testament, and very often in the book of Psalms. And most often those usages refer to God's mercy, or as it's also translated, loving kindness. When William Tyndale was translating the Bible, I believe it was William Tyndale, and he came to this word in Hebrew, and he felt there's no English word that can really capture the richness of this word, and so he invented a new word, loving kindness. And what a beautiful word that is. It's a word that's filled with love, and a love that shows itself in kindness. It's a word which speaks of steadfast love, faithful love, committed love that continues to show kindness, and not just a general kindness, but a mercy. This is something which is so deep and so rich and so great because it is God's loving kindness, steadfast mercy, goodness and mercy. Are these two great realities that characterize God himself? They are attributes, perfections of God himself. And because they are God's, they are infinite. It speaks of him as abundant in goodness. His goodness is as great as God is. It's infinite. And that's why Psalm 36, when it speaks of God's mercy, it says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds." And now the confession is that this great goodness and this great mercy follow little, unworthy, sinful me. I said at the beginning, it's great people who have helpers to go with them when they're on a journey. But here it's the opposite. Here you have this tiny, little, sinful person. And God sends his great goodness, and he sends his great mercy, and he accompanies that little sinner. Not in the sense that his sin is little, his sin is great, but he's so little, that little dust. And he accompanies with his goodness and mercy day by day. On the one hand, it's so humbling, isn't it? Because sheep of Christ, you can't do with less, can you? Then this great goodness and this great mercy of God to go with you. You're a bundle of need. You're full of helplessness. And that's why if you had to go a step on your own, you'd perish. God knew that you were so helpless that he didn't just send an angel to help you. He didn't just send some other people to be beside you and be your counselors and help you continue on in life. No, he sends his goodness and his mercy because he knows nothing less will do to keep you and to bless you than his own goodness and mercy. You've learned it, haven't you? That without him, you can do nothing. He knows it far better than you do. That's why he sends his goodness and his mercy day by day. It's mercy. Because you sin against it every day, and yet he continues to send his mercy. Literally, this mercy and goodness follow in the sense of they pursue. It's a word that's used for someone who is bent on pursuing someone else and not letting that other one escape, not letting anything come between you and that other one, pursuing. And that's the language here. This goodness and mercy, they pursue, determined not to let you escape. When an old Scottish elder who had been a shepherd for many years preached on this Psalm 23, and he came to this verse, he says, "What do I think of when I think of goodness and mercy? I think of the fellows taking the sheep home, walking down the road, there with their sticks, the sheep coming behind them, and behind the sheep two dogs, one called Goodness and the other Mercy. And when the shepherd's back is turned, a sheep will try to sneak off the road to go back to the pasture in the mountains. And Goodness goes after it and turns it back into the path. And a little further along, another does the same. And there I see Mercy turning it out of and turning those sheep back." And so he concludes, these are two lovely dogs, Goodness and Mercy. Divine goodness and mercy to follow you, never to leave you as his sheep, determined to stay with you whatever happened. We come to the close of another year, almost. You look back. Is that what you see? Goodness and mercy. Not in the first place, COVID and all those things. Goodness and mercy following you day by day by day and not letting you escape. Maybe you look back over this year and certain days do stand out, especially filled with the goodness and mercy of God. It can be those temporal gifts, that in them you see nothing less than the goodness and mercy of God towards you. It wasn't thanks to you. It was only thanks to him. Psalm 145 sings, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." And if you're a sheep tonight, you may trace those good gifts to his special favor of goodness and mercy. And then it's reason at the end of a year to see that goodness and mercy and confess, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Maybe you look back on special moments, special days of spiritual blessing, all those gifts that we have read of in Psalm 23, also the thinking of this morning, how he prepares a table, and when you've tasted the goodness and mercy of God under the preaching here or in your homes, or as you've read, or as you've bowed your knees before God, or as you've spoken together of the Lord, his goodness and mercy is something that he came to you with, and you could enjoy that by his Spirit. How rich that is. Days of goodness and mercy of the Lord. Then there's reason to sing again, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." But maybe you also look back, and it seems like those days were of feasting upon his goodness and mercy. Certainly was not every day. Were there only then a few days of God's goodness and mercy in this past year? Is this only the confession of a sheep who is feeding at God's table and thinks that this is how it will just continue every day? I will feast upon his grace and enjoy his blessing. Is this just... No. This is a language of faith that trusts in the Good Shepherd and knows all that I am is only thanks to his goodness and mercy day by day. Maybe you do look back and you do see those days of outward adversity. David also had those days. He had to flee from Saul. He had so many days where he had trouble and he had affliction, and yet he speaks of goodness and mercy all the days. Where is the goodness? In the midst of the trials, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the health troubles, in the midst of problems in the family and with children, or in marriages, or with finances, or with work, where is the goodness and mercy of God in those troubling days? Sometimes in the trials, the Lord opens up his heart of mercy in such rich ways. In the affliction, he shows what a refuge he is. Maybe you say, "I don't always see that." Sometimes it's when you look back. And the psalmist says in Psalm 119, "It was good that I was afflicted. God's goodness was there in afflicting me, correcting me." Sometimes we don't even see that. And yet the words of Romans 8, verse 28 are true. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Every day, God's goodness is there, whether you see it and enjoy it or not. Can be worse days, not just outward distress, but spiritual distress. Think of how the psalmist also knew those days when his bones waxed old through his roaring all the day, and he didn't want to acknowledge his sin, and the Lord was there drying up all his comfort and turning him into the drought of summer. What distressing times they may be. Of distress in your soul. and the goodness and the mercy of God may seem so far away, where is the mercy? Remember what the psalmist came to in the midst of his spiritual distress, that he cried out, "In thy judgments thou art just, speechless I thy mercy trust." There's still that mercy, even as God's heavy hand is coming in that spiritual distress. Or you think of Psalm 42 when he cries, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is the mercy? Where is the goodness?" He cried out, "Where is God?" And yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. These days may be painful. There may be days that are worse yet. The worst days of your life. What are the worst days of your life? Have the worst days become days of sin? Because sin is the worst thing in the world. Days in which you push away that good God and go in bad ways. That's the worst day. But even on such days, does God then take away his goodness? Does God then take away his mercy? Does God then let his sheep perish in their sin and in their misery? Goodness and mercy pursue still. And that's why they are so determined to pursue sheep that wander away, that they catch hold of those sheep again and they bring them to repentance. Just like those sheepdogs, they come and they bark and they bring them back to the shepherds. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Christ will not take away his goodness and his mercy a single day, a single moment for any one of his sheep. And if you may look back and you may say, yes, it's only thanks to the goodness and mercy of the Lord that I am what I am, and I am where I am, and I haven't perished. Then that also gives expectation for the future, doesn't it? This God who was what he was in the past will be the God, the same God in the future. And that is why the psalmist can confess, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Because he is that faithful shepherd always. That gives hope. Hope looking forward. Whatever those days will bring, to know that his goodness and mercy will follow me, determined not to let me escape them. Even though in my folly, I try to escape goodness and mercy. It sounds so strange. And yet in my corruption, that's what I try to do, but I can't, because they will follow me. Is that a reason to be careless? And it doesn't really matter how you live. Goodness and mercy will always be there. God will always be there. You can just live as you want. Don't take things so seriously. Don't worry so much about what you do and what you don't do and what you say and what you don't say and how you look. Don't worry so much how you talk. Don't worry so much, because God will always be there. Is that the conclusion to be drawn from this verse? If that's the conclusion we draw from this verse, well, then it doesn't matter so much how I live. Then you have to question whether you are living out of the goodness and mercy of God at all. Because you see, the goodness and mercy of God are there to bring back to the shepherd every time and to keep with the shepherd every time. And who is the shepherd? He is the shepherd who leads in his way of goodness and mercy. In the path of goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me in order to lead me to follow that good and merciful shepherd. And what happens as you follow that good and merciful shepherd is that his goodness changes, softens your heart, and delivers you from that pride and from that selfishness and from that coldness in such a way that you desire to do good to those around you and to leave behind you a trail of goodness. And as he shows you his mercy for a wretched sinner like you, he could find so much fault in, does that not also make you desire to show mercy and forbearance and patience in a spirit of forgiveness also to others around you in the midst of what they do? And also a desire to show mercy to those in need, to those who are hurting, to those who are suffering, showing mercy to them. And in the midst of receiving of his loving kindness, which is so faithful, to show that loving kindness, that faithful love to others as well. And so to leave behind you that trail of loving kindness, of mercy, and of goodness. Goodness and mercy that bring you to the shepherd, are they not what enable to follow the shepherd? And yes, here it's a small beginning, but it is a beginning. A beginning, as the Catechism speaks of, that new obedience, following the shepherd. A life of dependence on that goodness and mercy of God. We sang it, didn't we? Withhold not thou thy grace from me, O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show, thy truth be still my stay. Let them preserve me where I go and keep me every day. That's very different, isn't it? Than the presumption that thinks, well, God's goodness and mercy is there and it'll bring me to heaven. And in the meantime, I go chasing after everything else. No, this goodness and mercy is to make dependent, utterly dependent, on the goodness and mercy of the shepherd day by day. And then, this may be the comfort. To use the words of John Flavel, the Puritan, who lived in that harbor town in England, he said, men and women of this world are constantly pursuing good and can never reach it. But goodness and mercy are constantly pursuing the children of God, and they can never escape it. You catch the difference? What are you doing in life? Are you constantly pursuing your own definition of what's good? Or are you constantly being pursued by the goodness of God? It's one or the other, isn't it? By nature, we're pursuing after our own definition of the good life. And we never quite grasp it in our hands. It's always around the next bend. It's always over the next hill. Then maybe I'll get it. But there's always something in us which is dissatisfied. There's always something in us which is empty. There's always something that mars the good life, the full life. There's always something that isn't that keeps us from that happiness. Because if you only pursue your own version of goodness, you'll never, ever reach it. It's like that mirage in the desert. You're traveling and you see what looks like water and you haste towards it and it's only a mirage. There's no water there at all and you're only the more thirsty. And so it is. If we live without the goodness and mercy of God, but what a contrast. If we belong to this shepherd, we have his infinite perfect goodness pursuing us and never letting us escape. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you know why that is? What the secret to that goodness and mercy is? Following you. It's when you see the shepherd and the way that he went. Christ came into this world. And what followed him all the days of his life? Wrath and curse pursued him and did not let him escape. They pursued him to the end, bringing him to death. Wrath and curse followed him all the days of his life. And the most amazing thing is, he did not try to escape them. He let them come. And he bore them. And he bore them in the place of his sinful sheep, who deserve only wrath and curse to follow them all the days of their life. He traded places with those foolish sheep. And he said, I will bear the wrath and curse so that the goodness and the loving kindness of God that I deserve to follow me may follow you. He traded places. That's the secret to knowing goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, to know him and his sacrifice and his grace. He went that way of death, but he did not end in death. He also rose and ascended and lived and lives and is now in the house of his Father. And that is why goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The psalmist says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the second of our 2 points. My shepherd will lead me home to enjoy his goodness and mercy. When we read that last word, forever, we right away think of eternity, don't we? That's forever and ever and ever and ever. But if you look in, at least in the margin here, the word forever is literally, or can also be, to length of days. To length of days. So it's something that begins here and has no end. That expression, length of days, is used, for example, in the fifth command, that thy days may be long upon the land. Begins here. It's also an expression that's used in Psalm 21. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him, even length of days forever and ever. And there it goes into eternity. So this is something that begins here and goes into all eternity. And what is it? It's to be in the house of the Lord. A house is where someone dwells, isn't it? If I said, bring me to your house, then you bring me to where you live. And if the people who live in your house are the people who belong to you, to dwell in the house of the Lord, then, is to belong to the family, the people of God, who have the Lord's house as their home. And how special that is. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, and I will not be expelled. God will not say, "Now it's enough, now you have to leave. I will dwell in the house of the Lord to length of days. He will keep me in his house. He will keep me in his family. He will keep me in his flock." What a wonder of pure grace when you see how much you deserve to be expelled. But the house of God is not just where he dwells and where he has his people, but it's also the place where he shows himself, reveals himself. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in that place where God makes himself known. And then you could think of the tabernacle or the temple later. In the New Testament, you can think of where he dwells in the midst of his church and makes himself known. And this is the delight of the psalmist, to dwell there where God makes himself known, where God is present. Does that become your delight? To be where God reveals himself. The house of the Lord. With Psalm 84, "For a day in thy courts are better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, my God, than dwell in the tents of wickedness." That's why Psalm 27 sings, doesn't it? "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." You hear it? Already now, all the days of my life, that I may dwell where he makes himself known, that I may dwell with him, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And if we were to ask the psalmist, why is that so desirable? Well, we can't ask him anymore because he is not here for us to ask. So we'll ask those who have that desire. Is that you? Desire to dwell in his house. What makes it so desirable? Is it because there he reveals his glory, his holiness? Psalm 93, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever." It's a place of Psalm 26, the place where thine honor dwelleth. That God's honor and God's glory and God's holiness and purity has become beautiful to you, desirable to you, that you desire to behold it. It's a place also where God is worshipped. Psalm 84 also sings, doesn't it? "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee." Is it that you have this desire that he would be exalted? You're so done with yourself and you're done with the things here below, and you so desire that he would be receiving glory because of who he is and what he does. To worship him is what makes his house so desirable. Also, that is what satisfies your soul. Psalm 65, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." That there your soul is satisfied. And when you try to fill it with other things, it remains empty. But there he comes with his Spirit, and he blesses his word, and there he feeds, and there he's satisfied. And that is why his house is so desirable. Is that why you've come to delight in, come to long for the house of God? Because there he gives his grace, he gives his salvation. You think of there in the temple, there was that sacrifice that was offered up as a display of the way of salvation, which is revealed so much clearer today in the gospel of a Savior who is the Lamb of God, who shed his blood to reconcile sinners to God. And there is where you desire to be. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord." That is his longing, because that is where David feels at home. If you come to feel at home Not in the sense that it's a normal thing, but there you are in your element. There where God blesses and gives grace. You're not at home in the world anymore, are you? You're not at home in the wilderness of this world with its sin and misery. Has this become your home? Home. Because he's changed your heart. Turned it to him. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those who are not at home here on earth, at home in sin anymore, even though you find so much sin within you and so much of the world within you, it's become your burden because it's not home anymore. Listen to this confession. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what David confessed there, when he wrote this psalm, he knew this much of what he was saying, compared to what he now knows of what that house is and what it is to be in that house forever. As we are here, or as you may be in your homes, David is now in the house of the Lord forever. And there he sees that shepherd like he never, and none of us have ever seen him here below. There he sees that shepherd from face to face, not as in a glass darkly, but face to face. And there he sees the lamb that was slain to redeem also a sinner like David, that he could be there in that house. And there, right now, he may confess, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. To all eternity, I shall have no lack, no suffering, no hunger, no distress. Here he said, I will fear no evil. And yet time and again, those fears came back. But there is no fear to all eternity, for everything that one could ever fear is banished from the house of God forevermore. There he does not have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, because that valley is behind him. He is in the presence of the Lamb who is the light of the glory of heaven. There he is. And his cup runs over and runs over and runs over, and it will never be diminished. Because there, right now, he knows like he never knew here below how glorious, how great the mercy, the goodness, the loving kindness of a holy God is in Jesus Christ. He is in the house of the Lord forever. Will you also be there? One day, a day that will never end. My friend, we've listened to this psalm several times, and it all begins with these words, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? As a young person, as a child already, as an older one, my shepherd. That's all that matters in life. To have him as a shepherd. Because if you don't have him as a shepherd, if you have to say tonight, the Lord is not my shepherd, then you have to reverse the whole psalm. And you shall want in this life. You will lack what you need, and forevermore. And you do not feed in those pastures. You are now feeding on the poisoned pleasures of sin. You have none to restore your soul if you don't have the shepherd. you only have corruption and sin. And then you have no rest for your soul. You are not going in the paths of righteousness, but you are going in the paths of sin. Then when you do come to the valley of the shadow of death, you will have nothing but fear, nothing but terror, because he's not with you. You have no feast, and you have no goodness and mercy to follow you. You only have wrath and curse, and you will dwell with the devil and his angels in outer darkness forever, if the Lord is not your shepherd. What a misery, what a dreadful condition. And maybe you don't want to confess that at all. You just say, the Lord is not my shepherd. But that's all the consequences of the Lord not being your shepherd. And whose fault is it? It's not his. It's your own. That you refuse this shepherd. You're determined to go your own way in your stubbornness. You're not a helpless victim. You're a sinner. Where does it leave you? Doesn't it leave you with this one cry? To this great shepherd who bore the curse and who bore the wrath to deliver from it, and now to come and to seek out lost sheep. Who here cries out, here I am, lost? He will come to those who cry to him, and he will save you, and he will redeem you, and he will make you his own for the sake of his blood. Cry out unto him, even this night, that he would be your shepherd. Said it's one or the other. The Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord is not my shepherd. And I know there can be those who struggle, who hesitate to confess this. The Lord is my shepherd. And you look at yourself and you wonder, how can I say that? And at the same time, you can't do without him in the midst of those struggles. May this text not also be an encouragement to you. What type of person confessed, the Lord is my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? It was someone who is no different than you of himself, but it was the goodness and mercy of God who cleared away the doubts, who cleared away the hesitations, who cleared that all away in David so that he could confess that. And all that grace and all that goodness and all that mercy is still in this shepherd to clear away all the doubts and all the hesitations that make you wonder, can I confess this? He is so great in his grace. Bring all your doubts, bring all your fears, bring them to him as the one who clears it away. To confess this and to even say, surely. It's actually the first word of the psalm, this text, but it's the word we end with, surely. How can you be sure? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's because he, that other text in Isaiah, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Is that true? Is that sure? Then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's the language of faith that knows what God says is sure, is certain, is true. Because he said it, because he's done it, because he is it. Surely, not because I have any confidence in myself, so weak, but surely because of the greatness of his goodness and his mercy to follow me all those days. Then we may come to the end of a year and we may look forward to a new year and we may wonder about so many things. What will happen in the year that lies ahead of us if we are spared? There's so many things we don't know. But as long as we may say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.